Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, on to our passage this morning. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. The Word of God says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater work than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name," Jesus says, "I will do it." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Have you ever thought about comfort? Comfort is something that we all seek. And seeking it isn't wrong and it isn't sinful. Now, with those two thoughts in front of you, may I ask you a very direct question? What do you understand comfort to? Some of you may be thinking that it is freedom from the issues of money, maybe freedom from health problems, freedom from stress. I'm sure there are many more out there. Now, how many of you have thought about comfort as being the freedom from spiritual issues? Spiritual confusion, spiritual frustration in your life. As we move into the text this morning, I want to open with a story. In January of 2003, a young man was on his boat in the ocean, or on a boat in the ocean, and it capsized. He had been in the water for 20 hours. He was giving a valiant effort at survival. He later confessed in an interview that he felt certain he was going to die. Well, a helicopter located him and sent word to a ship on its way to the Persian Gulf. And the ship, by the way, was named the USS Comforter. The ship was on its way to do battle. Yet, it paused to deliver this man. They went out of their way to deliver one man. And on the ship was a doctor, and the doctor began nursing the man back to health. And when we think about that, we have to understand something else, that there are many people today treading water in their life, figuratively speaking. And they don't know how much longer they can hang in there. People are tired. People feel like all is lost because of circumstances that are around them. All we must do, however, is look up. All we need to do is look up and see that our deliverer is near. He is the source of our deliverance. He, Jesus, is our comfort. God is the God of all comfort. He will make sure the comfort that we need comes our way if we will look to Him. Jesus teaches the source of comfort is something that the disciples had right in front of them. yet they didn't see it. They were distracted by the cares of the world, by frustrations, by threats, by fear. Yes, the Lord's disciples were missing the boat when it came to realizing the source of the source and the circumstances of the comfort that they had in front of them. And I feel today there are many, many people who find themselves in the same situation. So this morning, let's look at this passage and let's consider the source of our comfort. Notice with me first, the source of our comfort is found in a disciple's request. In verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. It sufficeth us." Last week, Thomas had a question and had a conversation with Jesus. This week, Philip has a question and has a conversation with Jesus. Last week, Thomas was concerned about the highway home. This week, Philip is concerned about the comfort of God the Father as well as Jesus the Son. They were still seeing the two as different. Jesus had preached and taught for years that I am the Father and the Father is me. Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. He is God in the flesh. But yet, they just didn't connect the dots. And here Jesus is in what's called the upper room discourse. He is laying down for the last time some theological truth that the disciples need in their life to move forward. Things that they should have already grasped. But they missed it. And Jesus is trying to nail it down for them. And in the process, you and I this morning can gain a lot from the questions that Thomas asked last week in the conversation he had and the questions that Philip asked this week in the conversation that he has. Philip says, "Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Show us God. That's a big statement. Jesus had spoken often about God the Father while he was ministering here on earth. Jesus referred to God as a Father. And think about that. Think of all of the names that God has in Scripture. Jehovah. Adonai. There are a couple of hundred names of God. Yet Jesus calls him Father. An intimate name. A name that describes an intimate relationship with God. And I believe Philip realized this relationship that Jesus had. And Philip wanted that same relationship. Philip was seeking the comfort of a relationship with God. And he had missed the idea and the thought and the teaching of Jesus that if you have that relationship with Jesus, you have that relationship with God. That's something real. That's something tangible. Speaking of which, people look for something tangible in everything. You and I do. Tangible is something that we can actually lay our hands upon. We look for that in everything that we do. Now, when we're talking about religion, any ritual religion today attempts to make itself tangible. For example, the Muslims travel to Mecca to worship. Something tangible, something they can put their hands on. The Hindus travel to the river Ganges to wash away their sin. Something tangible, something they can hold on to. the Catholics. They travel to Rome. And they travel Pilate's staircase. Maybe you've never heard of that. Pilate's staircase is the steps of the Praetorium that was in Jerusalem, where Pontius Pilate had Jesus brought from the crowd up the steps and stood by him when the people said, "Crucify him." In the 4th century, those steps were taken down and they were moved to Rome. And there they are at Vatican City. And there is a pilgrimage to Vatican City where the Catholics go, and they will literally crawl up these steps as a ritual of worship because they are traveling in the footsteps of Jesus. It's something tangible for them. When we think about that in our modern Christian worship services today, how many tangible rituals do we have taking place this morning in congregations and sanctuaries around America that are there and put in place just to give a physical, tangible comfort? Think about that. Where are we seeking our comfort? Are we seeking it in some ritual? Are we seeking it in something that we are creating in ourselves and in our own minds? Are we seeking our comfort in our own ritual religion, or are we seeking it in Jesus Christ this morning? We can't find God anywhere other than Jesus Christ. He's not there. He's not accessible. Only through the Son of God. Jesus wanted Philip to understand, when you have me, you have him. This morning, the church needs to understand. We need to go back to the old paths of understanding and realizing when we have Jesus, we have God. We cannot have a relationship with God the Father unless it comes through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that relationship is only established in salvation. Either we are saved by grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone, or we're not saved. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Now we can take a walk through theology, and we can meander through the ideas of this person and the thoughts of that person, and we can walk down the avenue of this ism and that ism. But when it all converges and comes back to one point, and that point is Jesus. If we're not getting there by Jesus Christ, we're not getting there. And that is a comfort that we find this morning. If you're saved, you have that comfort of knowing that it's by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. This morning we see that the disciples' request says, "If I can see God, it will be sufficient for us." Jesus says, "You're already looking at Him." If we're looking for God this morning, and we're looking through any other window, any other opening, any other gate, other than Jesus Christ, we're looking in the wrong direction. If we want to see God, look through His Son. You want to hear from God, open His Word. You want to experience the presence of God, get on your knees before God and seek Him in prayer. Pay attention to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life this morning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one in three and three in one. It is the comfort that Jesus offers. It is the comfort that God offers to those who love Him. And that includes His church today. Philip's request is one gateway. One. The next thing we see in verses 9 through 11 is the source of our comfort is found in the Lord's reply to Philip. The Lord replies with a stated truth in verse 9. Have I been with you for so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He asked Philip a question. Have we walked beside one another for 3 years? Have you listened to me for 3 years, Philip? Have we been this close for this long, Philip? And you still don't see God. Stated truth in your life and my life this morning is how long have we been saved? How long have we known Jesus as our Lord and Savior? How long have we been in church? How long have we been going through the motions of Christianity? Do we really know God this morning? Do we see God in the practice of the worship that we have? Do we see God in presence in our lives, in our families, in our church family? Do we really see God this morning? Is God a stated truth in our life through our worship? Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus says, you mean you really haven't been paying attention? If the church today would pay as much attention to the Word of God, to the worship of God, to the presence of God, as we do to all of the other tangible things that try to come in the church door, we wouldn't be questioning so many things taking place in our lives and in our world today because we would see God and God's hand in them. The stated truth is God is there. He is present. He hasn't gone anywhere. If we're not seeing Him, it's because we have moved. Well, then in verses 10 and 11, we see that the words of our Lord have got godly support. Jesus asked, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Philip, don't you believe that God's my Father and I'm His Son? And don't you believe that I'm God in the flesh? Jesus isn't asking Philip if he will accept it. Jesus isn't asking Philip if he'll look at the birth certificate. Jesus isn't asking Philip if he'll look at the lineage. Jesus is asking Philip about his heart. Do you believe with your heart? Do you believe with your soul? Do you believe beyond any doubt that I am who I say I am? The words that I speak, Jesus says, are not on my own authority, but on the Father who dwells in me. Often I hear and see a lot of discussions and arguments about Jesus. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a good prophet. Jesus was this and Jesus was that and Jesus was the other. And those conversations always strike me as very odd. They talk about all of the good that Jesus was, but they won't admit that He was God in the flesh. They won't admit He was the Son of God. Jesus says plainly that He is, that God is in Him and He is in God. Well now, let's just take a good long look at this real quickly. A deep look. If Jesus says that He is God in the flesh and the Father is in Him and He is in the Father, but yet we are saying, well now, I believe Jesus was a good man. I don't believe that, but I believe He was a good man. How is a good man a liar? Because you're calling Jesus a liar. How is He so good if He's a liar? That also makes Him a deceiver. How is He such a good prophet if He's deceiving you? We can't have it both ways. Philip couldn't have it both ways. Philip couldn't have Jesus over here and God over here. Philip had to see them both as they really were, one incarnate in the other. You and I have to accept Jesus at His Word and believe Him and the statements that He makes, believe Him, the work that He has done, believe Him in the miracles that He has wrought, believe Him in the salvation that He has given to you and to I, or we totally deny Him. There's no middle ground. There is none of this, Jesus was a good man, but. Either Jesus is who He says He is, or He is a liar. There's no middle ground. There's no common ground. Pastors and evangelists and church members today have to come back to the realization of who Jesus is. We have to come back to the godly and heavenly support of who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. We either believe it and accept it, or we don't. The testimony's evident. It's evident in the life of every born-again believer, because if you are saved by grace through faith this morning, then the testimony of Jesus being who He says He is being lived out daily in your life. Not because you choose to do it, but because He has born you again. There's a new birth in your life. And because of that new birth, the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. And the convictions and everything that go with that come from God and are lived out daily in your life. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to be sinless. But it means that God's love shows through you. Just like we said at the devotion at the beginning, God's love shone through David. God's love will show through you as His child being born again through His Son. The comfort, the source of our comfort, is found in the very words of Jesus. Not only are they found there, but the results of our life give testimony to this comfort. The only true life is the Christian life. In verses 12 through 14, we see that it is an effective practice that reveals the source of our comfort. Jesus rarely traveled outside of Palestine. However, we see in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Because we believe in Jesus, Jesus will work through us. And that work will be a greater work. It will travel a greater distance. Jesus covered a small geographical area to establish His church, to establish His followers, to establish who He was, to establish the salvation that we have today, the grace and the mercy that we experience today. But because of that, the effective practice of what Jesus done there in that little area of Palestine is established in your life and in my life, and it is carried out in the works of Jesus Christ as we carry His gospel into the workplace and into the world. And it isn't about how much scripture we memorize. You've heard me say that before. You don't need to carry a big black Bible with you everywhere you go and beat people over the head with it. It isn't about impressing people with your memorization skills. It's about being obedient to Christ. It's about loving Christ and letting Christ work through you. Your life, the way you live your life in obedience to Christ, in obedience to the Word of God, is the greatest testimony that you will have of Jesus Christ. because it is that life that someone is going to see and someone is going to ask, hey, I got to know, with everything that's going on in your life, with everything that you're dealing with all of the struggles, all of the issues, everything that's happening, how do you stay so joyful? How do you stay so upbeat? How do you stay so positive and moving forward with things? And it gives you an opportunity to say, it isn't me, it's Jesus. It isn't me, it's what God has done through me and done in me. It isn't me, it's about salvation. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's the testimony. When you go into court, you watch people sit on the stand and testify. They're giving a personal account as a witness. Those two words, witness and testimony, are seen throughout God's Word. As a Christian, we give a personal account of the witness of Jesus Christ and what He's done in our life. That's the testimony. The more Bible that you can use and work with and let God lead you through it, that's great. But the testimony, the strength of the testimony comes from your personal witness and your personal relationship. It is the effective practice of Christianity that is the source of your comfort. Everything we watch on the news today is unnerving. How much of it is real? How much of it is made up? How much of it is this and how much of it is that? Every time a point is raised, a counterpoint is raised, and it gets aggravating, and I just turn it off. Because I realize God knows the truth. He can sort it out. He doesn't need me to do it for Him. He knows. That's the way it is in our Christian life. We want to be an effective witness for Christ, then we need to have an effective practice of Christianity in our life. We need to be obedient to being that person. We need to be obedient to being that Christian, obedient to following Christ. We need to follow what Jesus is telling Philip here. We need to realize that it is through Jesus that we have access to everything that God is. We have His Word written. We have His Spirit indwelling us. We have His Father empowering us. And it all centers around Christ. It all works through Him. In verses 13 and 14, we see that not only is there a practice that is effective, but there is a prayer life that is efficacious. Notice Jesus says, "In my name." And whatsoever you may ask in my name. In the name of Jesus. His power, His authority, His relevance. When we pray, is our prayer a matter of personal comfort and convenience? Is it something that's tangible? Something that we're trying to just make ourselves feel better about? Is that what prayer is to us? Or is prayer something that we really believe that God is listening and we know that He hears us? And that we're really reaching up in petition and thanksgiving to God, understanding that if we do it sincerely in Jesus' name, that it will be done. Now that doesn't mean it will be done the way we picture it. I think back over many prayers and over my prayer life as I've developed and as it's grown, and goodness knows, Lord knows that I've got plenty of growing left to do. But I stop and I think of some of the prayers that I have prayed, and I've asked God to do this and to do it this way, and I've asked God to do that and do it that way. And I stop and I look back, and if God would have listened to me, oh, what a mess I would have been in. Because I didn't know as much as I thought I did. But if I pray in Jesus' name, and if I depend on God's will to answer prayers in my life, and I submit myself to that will, and I accept it, and I'm content with what God has in store for me, and how God drives me and directs me, then I can be established, and I can be sincere that the best is going to happen. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified. When we pray, are we praying for God to be glorified? Are we praying that God would take our circumstances, our prayers? We want them answered. We're giving Him a petition, or we're being thankful, but are we making that request for God's glory or for our glory? How tangible is that in our life? It's a very relevant point. The source of our comfort comes from God through Jesus Christ. Our prayer life is a direct connection in that comfort. It needs to be right. It needs to be real. Then in verse 15, we see that prayer life, that practice, is a life of Christian love. If you love me, keep my commandments. That simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love is always the first and the last. It's always the beginning and the end. And it's always the everything that Jesus taught. If we love God, we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and we dedicate ourselves to Him, and we seek Him to be the source of our comfort, and we set aside all of the tangible rituals, we set aside all of these other things that have a tendency of stepping into our lives, we start gaining a grasp of a reality of God that maybe we've never seen before. Maybe we find ourselves in the same boat that the disciples were in. We have had Jesus in front of us for X number of years, but we never really made the connection between Him and God and the reality of how He works into our lives and how our lives, our practice, our prayer, and the way love is exhibited, how that works into the community, into the workplace, how it is a testimony and a witness to God's graciousness and God's greatness in our life. Well, this morning, could we have a hymn of invitation? I would like to ask if our musicians could come and make that preparation. And as they come, I'd like to ask, where do you seek comfort? Are you seeking comfort from others this morning? Are you seeking comfort from some material thing? Maybe you're seeking comfort from drugs or alcohol. If you are, if you're seeking comfort in any of those and many, many others, you're going to be disappointed. You probably already have been, honestly. Maybe, just maybe you're discouraged today because comfort seems to be giving you the slip. You're always on edge. You're always uncomfortable. Spiritually speaking, you always have that big question mark. Well, I want to invite you to come to the true comforter, to Jesus Christ. I don't know what your situation in life is, and I don't need to know. I don't need to know because God does. He knows exactly what you need, and He knows the exact relationship that you're in need of this morning. He knows that you need Jesus, and He knows what areas of your life that Jesus is needed in. This morning, if you're not saved, I want to extend the opportunity to you. If you are saved, and you find yourself seeking comfort somewhere else, in something else, other than God, He wants you to come back. He wants you to come home. He wants you to come back to Him. So if you're seeking comfort, I'm extending an invitation to you this morning. An invitation to the source of true comfort, an invitation to Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we sing this closing hymn, if God is dealing with your heart, would you obey, would you listen, and would you come to the Comforter? As we sing, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come?